When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The world outside your window may not be great, but here on Post Show Recaps, everything is super over. I am Jason Reed, one of your hosts, to talk about this great show, Loki, the finale of season two. With me is my co-host, Sasha Joseph. Sasha, how are you feeling? How's it going? We've made it. We're here.
Yes, here we are. I can't believe it, if I'm being honest, where we've actually made it to the end. You and I, like a different Loki, we were talking about that pre-show, but outside of that, it was beautiful. It was nice. I can't believe I'm not let down by a Marvel show. Like, I'm in shock. Listen,
the quality was pretty consistent overall.
Oh, God.
And oh, my God. It was good overall, like the whole way through. Shocking, I know, for a Marvel project
the bar
nowadays.
Is so low.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Can I also say, I was just, the CGI, right? And the visual effects, the sound, the writing, the comedy even, just all of it together. Thank you, Marvel. This is what we want.
And where, you know, the first, was She-Hulk the first Marvel show that we covered? The first Marvel show that we covered together. Really felt like they had some things going for it, but the CGI was the big sticking point throughout most of that show. And here it felt like they put money into it all, right? Whereas, you know, A Secret Invasion was good on CGI, but everything else was blah. And here it's all.
Where was the story?
Right. It feels like this all came together.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we say over, it feels like over for Loki. Like, I don't think we're getting a season three out of this. This feels like a definitive end to this series.
Yeah,
it feels like we're not coming back to our characters anymore. We left off with an ending for a lot of our characters here, and it feels like we'll probably see Loki in the future, I would imagine and hope, at some point, but I don't think he's getting his own series again.
No. It doesn't seem like it. I was looking up a few interviews by the Loki, like, production team. And one of these stood out that said, we approach this as two halves of a book. Season one, first half. Season two, we close the book on how on Loki and the TVA. Where it goes beyond that, I don't know. I just need to tell a full and complete story across the two seasons.
Yeah, so it feels like, you know, could we see the TVA down the line? It's a little murky. It's a little murky by the end of this, what the TVA's role is now. What do they do now? It doesn't feel like they're pruning anymore. So what is their job? What is their role now that we're letting all of the timeline branches branch freely, you know, in the universe? So what is their role? What is their job? Looks like they're still being vigilant, but we don't know what they'll do if they see something that doesn't feel right.
Mm-hmm.
So interesting.
No, very much agree.
Yeah. Let's kind of jump in. There's a lot to tackle here. So let's kind of jump into the episode proper. You know, we wondered what was going to happen. We left last episode with Loki coming time slipping right before Victor Timely goes out into the loom again. So we're like, okay, so Loki's going to jump into action here and change something. But no, he actually just lets everything go the way it went before. Victor Timely walks out the door, he spaghettifies. But Loki turns around to OB. He's like, yo, so what could we have done better? What could we have, you know, how could we have avoided this? And OB's like, you know, the problem is we just took too long. The radiation built up too much, and that's what got us, mm-hmm. us here again. So Loki says, got you. We got to do this faster. We got to do this in a more timely manner. So he, you know, Loki starts small, right? He goes back to that moment again, and he just starts telling people, okay, yeah, a little faster. Just keep moving. He does this a few times. Mobius clocks this, where, you know, before Loki, you know, goes down and helps out Victor, he's like, all right, this time we're going to do this, this, and this. And Mobius is like, this time? What do you mean by this time? So we kind of go through this sequence over and over again for a few times before, you know, he starts going back even earlier and earlier and earlier. And I love this moment where he goes back to where Miss Minutes and Ravonna and freaking Brad have timely held hostage, and Loki just pops up. He's like, hey, Miss Minutes, I know you're hurt. I know you got some stuff you know that you have to work through, but we don't got time for that. We got to get Victor out there. I love that moment in the episode. I kind of love, you know, our little comic flares that we love. How did you feel about the, you know, the constant slipping, the constant, you know, as many TV shows and movies do? We got like Edge of Tomorrow. Doctor Strange did this, where we're kind of trying to break out of the loop in some way. We keep going over and over and over again. How did you feel about how Loki did it?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Again, I think Tom Hiddleston / Loki and this version of Loki felt like the Loki we knew, right? He was giving us, or we like, the God of Mischief, not the God of Stories, where it was very much giving us messy. It was giving us, no, like, I'm in charge. I am him, right? In still a kind way, because there has been growth. Right,
He still has some wit and a little bit, like, of a sharp
swag. Yeah, exactly. So that's what I think. That's what make this sequence different and made it more enjoyable to me, because I was like, yeah, do this more. Because at one point, I can't remember which exact sequence it was, but my notes just say, oh my god, he's constantly talking about being a god. I love this, because everyone was like, well, how do you know? What are you talking about? I'm a god. Trust me.
Just don't worry about it. I'm a god. It's kind of like the show, you know, treats us, right? We're like, could you explain this a little more? Like, don't worry about it. It's the show. You're going to enjoy it. Just calm down. We're good. I don't need to explain it to you. I'm a god. I'm a show. I'm an MCU project. We're good. You're going to enjoy it. Just sit back and relax.
And why is, like, crazy ass Miss Minutes not letting, you know, not giving any pushback, right? Like, that's
I would have loved to see Miss Minutes be like, yeah, okay. You're very forceful. Like, you seem like you have something to do, so go ahead. I wish you could have gotten a little more of that back and forth, like you said, between Loki and Miss Minutes in that moment. Not enough Miss Minutes in this finale at all. I feel like that was definitely missing.
She's a psycho killer, and all we get from her in this episode is her just, like, laying back. I mean, like, yeah, take timely. I don't need him anymore.
Yeah, so weird.
Get out of here.
So we keep going back because nothing's working. So we go back again a little further to when Timely, you know, finally arrives at the TVA and he meets Obi. He's like, yeah, you both wrote the book. Like, it's all good. Like, we just got to figure this thing out. Loki's like, they go through the whole thing. Like, who's going to take it out there? He says, Victor is, because he's going to volunteer. Like, trust me, you will. Like, it's all good. You're going to volunteer for this. And he's like, yeah, Mobius is you. I know it looks like Mobius, but it's actually Victor. So don't worry about it, Mobius. So good.
No, and I also want to say, like, if this is before Timely's arc, right? Before his whole, like, I am maybe stepping out of being a con man and, you know, like, a little bit more altruistic. I care more about the world, blah, blah, blah. We have not gotten there yet. The hot chocolate hasn't been dropped on the floor yet. People haven't been pruned yet in front of Victor Timely. Mm-hmm. So all of this to say, imagine getting a con man who only cares about himself and, like, you know, almost like not his actual variant, but I mean, like, his, you know, brain variant in OB. And it's like, I really only care about OB because OB is me. I'm him. Chicken and egg situation. And now I have to be altruistic and literally spaghettify myself for y'all.
It's like, Victor, you're going to go through a very touching journey to realize you want to be a hero, but we don't have time for that shit. You just got to go now, okay? No. Just trust me. And I love, like, and more the fun of when they go into the loom chamber. And he's like, okay, you're just going to stick your head in here. It's all good. Don't worry about it. See, I'm going to do it too. And he's like, he sticks his head. He's like, and he's like, see, all good. Go ahead. And he just rushes through the whole thing. And of course, again, it doesn't work. So Loki's like, OB, we need to figure this out. How can I know what you know? Like, you need more help. How can I figure out what you know? He's like, OB says, well, that would take, like, decades. Maybe Victor then goes, maybe even centuries. So it's like, centuries. I got time. I got tons of it. I can figure this out. So I just love it's like centuries later.
That killed me. Like I actually laughed out loud because in my mind I said, did he stop to sleep? Did he stop to, you know, eat? Did he stop to just hang out in certain parts?
Like, I wonder if he just showed up like 400 years previous to when Obi was, you know, just a lowly tech guy in the basement. He's like, hey, I'm Loki. And I just want you to teach me everything you know. I don't care if it takes 400 years. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to be like your assistant. You'll teach me everything you know. I wouldn't know if that was that or if he just kept coming back to the same times. Okay, teach me something else. All right, now teach me something else now. Like, I just wonder how that went. But I do, you know, I didn't need that. So I appreciate they just kind of got
it. Yeah, I didn't either. I think it's fun for us to speculate, right? Like, what happens when Loki is just vibing for centuries with his friends. But, you know, we do later find out maybe that was for good. Because
he's alone. Yeah, Loki now is back in the Loom Room again. We're back in the same sequence, but Loki knows a whole bunch of stuff. He's like, yeah, I got this. He's working the mod. He's working the board himself. He's sending the thing out. He's got it all in hand. He's like, watch out, Obi, coming for your job. But, you know, it's such a fun sequence there. Mobius is like, what the hell's going on? What are you doing? From 2 seconds ago, you all of a sudden know so much stuff. He's like, don't worry about it, Mobius. I know what I'm doing. Mobius says, no, you don't. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. But,
and again, so now it seems like we've really got things clicked in. We've got things dialed in, right? Timely goes back out there, and guess what? He doesn't spaghettify. He's making it. It's slowly but surely, he's making it to the launcher. Loki's like, you're doing great, Timely. You're doing great, Victor. You're so brave. One foot in front of the other. You know, he's like, and Victor's out there and he puts the thing, it's like, I told you, don't put it down. It's gonna roll off, because that's probably happened in one of the other instances he's done this. I in my notes, I said this really just feels like a video game where you have the checkpoints and you know you keep dying and you keep going back to the same point. So you know, and now you know exactly what to do, you know how to get past a certain part. So Victor gets the multiplier loaded. He's able to launch it after a couple of failed attempts. Loki's like, the button sticks. You gotta hit a little harder. So it works. And, you know, he tells Victor to come back. Victor comes back. Everybody's like, we did it. We solved it. We're done. It's all good. You know, I love Victor's cheer of like, just pumpkins.
Yes. Pumpkins. I don't know if it was like a curse word or what, but I was like, he's just making up words left and right. And I'm obsessed with Victor Timely.
Timely. So yes, the loom is stabilizing. We're good. And we're like, all right, show's over. It was a very short show. Let's everybody get back to work. And now it's like, oh, wait. Like Moby says, the readings are off. The loom is overloading again. Looks like, what do you mean? Like, how is that possible? I spent so much time getting to this moment. And Obi says, there's still just too many branches, even for the new size of the rings of the loom, like that we're supposed to stabilize, but there's just too many. And Victor says, well, you know, that's the thing. The branches are duplicating at an infinite rate. It's a scaling problem. You will never be able to accommodate how many branches there are. No matter what you do, the loom will always fail. Sylvie says, this was doomed to happen. As soon as the timelines started branching, this was always going to happen. So, ding, light bulb. Loki says, when did the branching start happening exactly? Oh, I know. When Sylvie killed He Who Remains. So as a whole, how did you feel about the fact that for the past probably 4 or 5 episodes, none of that mattered? It was just... We still had to go back to the very beginning.
So there was, interestingly, you bring this up because that was going to be my question to you as well. So one of the writers, lead writer, sorry, Eric Martin said that episode 5, they actually had another thing shot. And they end up like they said that was one of the one we worked on together, like with the directors, and our original episode got nuked. The previous version was the one they came on because of. So it seems like that was their favorite episode, the one that got like obliterated by Marvel. So they had to come up with something new, and there was this mind meld, blah, blah, blah. So it turns out that, like, I wonder if that original episode would have maybe given us more clarity. Because now it gives me more frustration into your theory of like friendship solves all. Loki gets better.
Yeah. And then, you know, and it's because this was the main thrust of the season, right? We have to figure out a way to increase the loom and make the branches fit, but that never mattered. It was never going to work. So for the past three or four episodes, we've been trying to solve this problem that could just not be solved.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. But the thing where I'm not that mad is I had fun along the way, right?
100%.
It's about the journey. So I can excuse the fact that we were on a mission for basically nothing. It was all going to fail in the first place. It's all about friendship, you know, whatever. So right before everything goes kablooey again in the loom room, Loki time shifts himself back to the moments right before Sylvie kills He Who Remain from the end of season one. This is where he comes back to, right before Sylvie runs her knife through He Who Remains. And he tells Sylvie, listen, I know that you don't want to trust me, but you have to believe me. If you kill him, everything ends. I've seen it. She says, you're just seduced by the throne. He says, I don't want this throne. She says, well, you're going to have to kill me if you want to stop me. So in that moment, I think probably all of us at home were like, oh, this is where it's going to turn now. Loki's going to have to kill Sylvie, and that's going to be the big emotional crux of the show. He's going to have to, you know, kill the one who he loves slash admires. So we go round and round and round. Loki keeps trying to talk her down. It never works. It's so many sequences of different ways that Sylvie kills He Remains, different ways that Loki tries to intervene. And Loki's like, dude, he turns to He Remains like, why are you never trying to stop her? Why do you just sit there every time? And, you know, Loki, He Remains stops the clock. He pauses Sylvie.
Yep.
And he asks Loki, so how many times have we done this? I assume that you can control time now. And so the turn happens. We're like, oh, okay. This is still, He Remains still knows what's up.
Yeah, we're still in his game, right? We're just here, and he is still running us. And I bet you if I was Loki, I would punch him in the face. Because there's totally. No way.
Yeah, he's like, you thought that you... He Remains says, you thought you were sticking it to the man. But no, did you really think I would let her kill me? It's all about reincarnation, baby! And I mean, again, Jonathan Majors is a shithead. But yes. He's a damn good acting shithead.
100%. I literally was like, oh, I hate you so much, but he's so smug in all of it.
He pulls it off so good.
Yeah.
And Loki, you know, kind of realizes that he's been played again. And he talks about dying. He quotes T.S. Eliot. He says, we die with the dying. We are born with the dead. You know, He Remains like, listen, we can keep playing the game. We can keep going through it a few more thousand times until you're ready to come back here and talk for real. But that's when Loki pauses. He says, you know what? What makes you think this is the first time that we've had this conversation? Because analysis like, oh, the tables are turning again. Because Loki knows more than He Remains knows at this point. Because, you know, they've had this conversation before. But He Remains doesn't know it because this is the first time he's had this conversation. He Remains says, oh, okay, I got it. So you probably have met Victor by now. You had problems with the loom, all this and that. Who He Remains says, there's a little problem with the loom. The loom is a failsafe. When the loom overloads and explodes, all it does is deletes the timelines that aren't supposed to be there and only leaves the sacred timeline, which is how I designed it anyway. The TVA and all the people in there, they're collateral damage, easy to rebuild. But all my variants are already going to be out there. Loki says, listen, we will stop them. He Remains says, it won't matter. It'll be the same every time. You lose, the loom overloads, boom, boom, boom. We're all good. We're still in the same situation. So I'm good. This gets Loki kind of apoplectic. He's agitated. He says, listen, we're going to change the equation. We're going to break the loom.
Yes.
He Remains says, if you do that, nothing survives. The war starts. Not even the sacred timeline is going to be here. All that you've experienced is because I have been here to keep watch. I've been here to keep you and your friends safe, to keep you on the sacred timeline, on the path you're supposed to be on. What do you think will happen to you, your friends, your family, if you destroy the loom? I make the tough choices to keep you safe. This is mercy. He Remains says, this is a merciful way. He's doing this to help you. I'm suppressing you to help you out. Where have we heard this before? You know? So yeah, it's crazy to me. But Loki insists we will find another way.
And this seems to almost be one of the first times, right? Like after Loki's so frustrated that we hear He Who Remains be normal, right? Like get off his theatrics and almost speak in a calm way.
But he's also a little worried, I think, because he realizes that Loki knows the game now.
Yes.
And he's going to find a way to maybe break out of the game, because this is still, according to He Remains, his plan. This is all the road he's paved. But Loki now is realizing that and finding a way. He's like, okay, all right. So let me just tell you, don't do what you're thinking of doing, because all this needs to stay intact. So for the first time, he seems a little worried.
Yeah, and I think when Loki quotes T.S. Eliot, that feels like the moment where, because I saw his face change, so I actually rewinded it and like watched Kang or He Who Remains, whatever the hell, his face again, and it just, you're right, I couldn't understand what it was. I just felt like, oh, he's like being real. But I think you're more correct in that, like, he's scared, because I don't know that he was ready for that. It felt like that. Oh, that wasn't what I wrote. You know,
yeah.
I didn't want Loki to say that to me.
Because so far, He Remains has tried to convince anyone to really do anything.
Yes. But
at this moment, he's trying to convince Loki not to go further than he's already gone. So now is the point where he's like, oh, he's going off script. Let me try and get him back on the same page. But Loki's, you know, he's determined. So Loki now, he's going back even further. He's going back to season 1, episode 1, where in the moment where he and Mobius have met, and this little bit of interrogation, Loki has on his like little time collar, and Loki basically lays out the plan for Mobius. Like, listen, you're gonna show me my life. You're gonna show me how I die. You're gonna show me how my friends and family, Ragnarok, blah blah blah. But listen, real talk, I need your help. And he says, listen, how do you choose who lives or dies? And Moby says, well, I mean, we don't really choose. It's the timekeepers. They do. They tell us who to prune and when to prune.
Moby, stand up.
Yeah. And Mobius, to kind of illustrate a point to Loki, tells a story of, you know, yeah, these hunters were sent out to kill a variant that would go on to kill 5,000 people. But when the hunters got to the scene to prune this, you know, this variant, this murderous variant, they found that the variant was an 8-year-old boy. And this hunter froze. A hunter that had no problem pruning before just froze. And it caused chaos. It caused more variants to pop up. It caused a whole lot of people dying. You got to keep the big picture in mind, because if you don't take care of the thing in front of you, more chaos will ensue. Mobius tells Loki, listen, most purpose is more burden than glory. And trust me, you never want to be the guy who avoids it, because you can't live with the burden. And in this story, Mobius says, and it took one other hunter to prune the 8-year-old boy to fix the problem. And of course, Loki clocks that Mobius was the one who froze. The one who froze, yes, wasn't able to prune the 8-year-old boy. Loki says, well, how do you live with that? Mobius says, it's about scar tissue. That's what we do. Mobius then reveals that the partner was Ravonna Renslayer, who, you know, we haven't seen for a minute, but we remember she's still out here somewhere.
Mobius says, no. Out at this point.
Yeah. Mobius says that Ravonna knew that the hard thing that had to be done, there is no comfort. You just choose your burden. And this, again, we've had multiple kind of like light bulb moments here. Mm-hmm. And this is another light bulb moment for Loki, where he kind of knows at this point what he has to do. He has to take on the burden. He has to choose to be uncomfortable. He has to choose to do the hard thing. Lobius.
Yeah.
Couple name, Lobius.
The amount of times we put their names together.
Yeah. Loki gets up. He shakes Mobius's hand. And everything goes black. Everything spaghettifies around Loki.
Oh, that leaving was him painful.
So painful. Leaving him in the black. And then we go back to, again, that moment where all of the variants that don't remember Loki are all together. And then they all spaghettify. You know, it's the same thing we saw earlier. But this time, Loki is able to just turn his hand. You can't see my hand. To turn his hand and stop everything spaghettiing, and he stops it right before Sylvie spaghettifies. So he talks to Sylvie, says, "Listen, we're outside of time right now," and he tells her about all his travels and all that he's learned. He says he's out of options right now. and the only way they survive. And Sylvie basically clocks. He's like, listen, the only way to survive is to kill me. Is that what it is? You're gonna kill me to stop me from killing Who Remains? And you know, some other shows would have Sylvie go, well, if you have to do it, you have to do it. I realize my error now in killing He Remains. She's like, no, I let you kill me. I'm not giving my blessing to kill me.
Every Taylor Sheridan show we've watched would have been like, yes, as a woman, it is only my job to further the story.
To further the man's story by being killed. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, Loki says, it's either the sacred timeline or nothing. I have to make this hard choice. Sylvie says, well, listen, the sacred timeline, like, ain't all that great. It's for the death and destruction. And so, you know, do you want to be the god that takes away free will by just erasing the variants of people that step off the sacred timeline? What good is, you know, Loki says, what good is free will if everyone's dead? And Sylvie says, well, listen, you can replace this one bad thing with something else. Sometimes it's okay to destroy the existing structure, the existing, culture, if you will, to replace it with something better.
Where have we heard that before?
I'm telling you, it's paralleling right now. It's paralleling all together. So, you know, this is basically the end of it. Loki says, fine, yeah, that's, I'll make my decisions. And he disappears, and we're back again to where we left off in the last episode, where we are right back to the loom room before Victor goes out and gets spaghettified. No, this isn't the start of this podcast episode. This is the now, because I said the exact same thing to start of the episode. We're back in the loom room before Victor goes out. But this time, before Victor goes out, Loki's like, you know what? I got it. I'm going out there. No suit, no nothing, just him. He says he knows what he wants and what kind of god he needs to be for them all. And he goes out to the loom room, no protection, and it's ripping him apart until it reveals. And it's just ripping off his clothes. And we're like, are we about to get some naked Tom Hiddleston?
Why not?
But it basically... And as the clothes are getting ripped off, he makes himself a cape. He makes himself some really long horns. Now, we've seen Loki have long horns before, but they were more of a majestic kind of golden horn. This is more of a crude, like, you know, real kind of sturdy stuff. Like he's got a fun little outfit on. So, you know, he's maybe in his god moment right now, because he's got his horns, his ceremonial horns, if you will. And so Loki uses his magic to destroy the loom, basically. He just, you know, of course, we're not going to get it explained, but he holds up his hands and just kind of goes, and the loom goes, branches go everywhere. It's dark. It doesn't destroy everything around it, because the loom room is still intact. We see our other characters in the loom room kind of looking out. It's all dark. Everything powers down. We can see the physical branches everywhere. And Loki is out in there. He's out with the branches. He grabs the branches and kind of magics them back to life. He energizes them with his magic. And it causes this green energy to kind of flow through them. How did you feel about the kind of design of this? Like, did you like how this sequence came together in a way?
Right. So I think immediately it was... the way it was all tattered, and New Rockstars actually talked about this too, because, you know, as someone that's not Christian, I don't want to like equate stuff to Jesus, but it very much felt like, you know, the bearing the cross. Every movie scene we've seen where they just walk with the cross behind their back, and, you know, Jesus is like walking. It's just, it was so, that imagery with the tattered like clothes and stuff. So it felt so powerful. And now I'm thinking back, I don't think there was a lot of dialogue either.
No.
So to give us, you know, a good, what, I wish I timed it, because it was so powerful, but, you know, a little bit of the ending to be no dialogue, just Tom Hiddleston acting his literal ass off, his clothes off. And, you know, to then see that transformation, not just of the show, not just of Marvel, not just of Loki, but really of a person that was so afraid of losing, was so afraid of being alone, to now this, right? And and then I said Spider-Man is back, because all these like pulling the branches together, all I could think of was Spider-Man just constantly having to put his body on the line to keep things together. We saw it with the ship scene, of course. Then, I mean, OG Spider-Man with the trains, every piece of that. So I just, it very much to me felt like Marvel almost doing like, this is our moment.
And well, listen, Sasha, with great power comes great responsibility. But, you know, Loki has the power now, so he has to have the responsibility to carry this. You know, you talked about the God parallel. He's doing this for everyone else's sins, right? For all the variant sins. He's letting those branches stay. He's letting them live. He's letting them keep their timelines, keep their place in the timeline. He's putting all the burden on himself. And it's interesting how this is the climax, right, to this season, to this property. But it's not it's CGI heavy, but it's not two CGI monsters bashing into each other. You know, not to keep crapping on Secret Invasion, but like Secret Invasion and like a lot of Marvel properties, it's like this, not even Marvel, superhero properties.
Yeah, agree.
Where two CGI monsters battle, where our heroes battle a CGI monster, and that's the end. Loki doesn't fight anyone, really. He just takes it upon himself to go through a journey, to go through something and to do something for the greater good. But that's a great hero moment in and of itself. It's not about defeating the monster. It's not about defeating the enemy. It's about taking something on yourself. He doesn't even really fight Kang anywhere. I mean, he remains anywhere through this. He doesn't engage in battle, if you will. So I think that's a really interesting way to end a superhero property in the non-traditional cliche way. It also reminds me a little of She-Hulk, right? Because as say what you will on the ending of She-Hulk, but they were innovative in the way they ended their show too. So that's
also called literally what you just said out, right? They were just like, no, it's cliche. We don't want this like big bad coming together at the end. And that's the only way. I think it's so fitting for Loki, the character, and the series in a way, but like Loki, the character deserves this, right? Where it's more about wits. It's more about his own journey. Because I feel like since we met him, it 14 years ago? Oh my God. Or however long it's been. It's always been about him, right? Like him versus Thor. Him trying to get, you know, his dad, like Odin's, you know, crumbs of approval.
Any kind of approval, yeah.
Yeah, it's just always been more about that than like him being this like huge adversary or this huge hero. It doesn't matter. It's just, it's always been, Loki, you ankle biter, because you're getting, you know, you're not getting your way. So to see him from there to now, this did feel like the best way to be. And funny enough, this kept coming up, but I didn't feel like I wanted to bring it up yet because it wasn't clicking yet. But when we see the you know, He Who Remains, like, is it Citadel, the Citadel that He Who Remains is in, it's very much the Japanese art form, right, of kintsugi, where it's you use gold to repair cracks to make something even more valuable once it's broken. Like that, it's a known thing. And I kept seeing that over and over, right? Like where it's obvious that there was cracks maybe during the war, maybe when Renslayer, right, was with He Who Remains, like when they were back. And it doesn't matter, but it very much was those cracks. But then, Jason, we see the same thing. We see the Citadel. We see the end of time, rather. I don't know if it's just the Citadel even. But we see that moment. And when Loki, right, goes on the invisible bridge and starts, like, walking up, the gold starts coming out of the cracks. And it becomes his throne. So it's almost like, what does it look like to not be broken anymore? Because we're doing things the right way.
Yeah, true. And Loki, who, you know, when we saw him early Loki, who wanted to be adored, it felt like, from being a god. He wanted his subjects to grovel before him. But now he is going to be that. He's going to be, you called it last episode, he's going to be the god of stories, right? Mm-hmm. So he's doing this now, but no one's really going to know. No one's going to be adoring Loki. No one's going to be praying to Loki, because no one's really going to know who's behind the scenes keeping timelines alive. So he's doing this out of the goodness of his heart, I guess, with no adoration, but he's choosing that path. I do think it was an oversight not to include He Who Remains, maybe realizing he's been beat, realizing that his script has been, written off. So I thought that was interesting not to really include that at all. But hey, I can't really complain, because the way they made this happen, he's going through and he's touching the timelines, energizing them, keeping them alive, gathering them together. You can see his cape at some point turns into the branches, which was so beautiful.
I loved that.
Yeah. And so he's got his little throne made from branches. He sits and he takes his place on his throne as we see the citadel that once was crumbling around him. Mm-hmm. And we zoom out and it's a big tree. And this is so impactful because it's Yggdrasil, aka the world tree that is, alive in a lot of the Thor mythos. Mm-hmm. It's early on in the MCU when Thor, if you remember from the first Thor movie, Thor explains to Jane what the world tree is, and it binds together all the realms. So it's really fitting that Loki chooses this kind of design, right? It's not a loom anymore. It's a tree. Instead of two ends coming out the sides, now the top and bottom. It's got roots. It's got branches. So the fact that he kind of chose that design for the new structure of how time goes is very interesting and so fitting, and just calling forth back into his past. So I just thought that was so wonderful.
Yeah. And in my mind, actually, I was like, did he even choose it? Or is that just now the new manifestation? Right. Because this was all inside Loki, right? Like you didn't need me. Like, was very Wizard of Oz, right? Like, it was always inside you.
Yeah.
Courage was always, right? Like, within you. You always had a brain, blah, blah, blah. That's what it felt like to me, where it was like, is this just the normal thing, right? Like, it's not even that Loki planned it. Loki just decided, this is how I'm going to bring them together. And then his manifestation, because, at the end of the day, spoiler alert, he is a good guy. Wow, who would have thunk? And just, a full-on good guy, right? Like, no anti-hero, none of that. Just straight-up good guy. That a tree, giving birth, like, it's there's so many metaphors, right, that you can write thesis on about how it just all intersects. And another thing I was thinking about, Jason, is that now that we don't have a loom, we it's a tree, we almost get to breathe, pun intended with a tree, where we can breathe because it can go a little bit haywire and that's okay. It doesn't need pruning, which to me felt like a setup all along for the tree, right? Pruning, branches,
yes,
all exactly. of this, right? Like everything you think about was leading us to this tree. And in my mind, I'm like, does that mean that no one's going to die? Like, what does that equal? It's like, is the new MCU just going to be on vibes only? Because, and sorry, I forgot to bring this up, but I highlighted it in my notes. The intro is backward.
Yes, I totally forgot that. I love that. Loved it. When we kind of going back from the studio's logo to from where it begins. So fantastic. I mean, and Loki's done this all season. Has been innovative with the opening title sequence. So I really love that they did that here in this episode as well.
Yeah, so that's why I'm almost like, again, in my mind, it all fits together. I'm a Marvel simp. It's who I am. Whatever, come for me. But it just, to me, thinking about that backward sequence, are we saying that nothing, anything can be turned back now because of this? And that's why now all these branches are going to just equal, right, more stories. Again, you and I have not seen the Marvels, so this is no like spoiler. This is just a question that I have. Like, is this leading us now to all of our faves coming back? Because they've literally rewinded time.
Yeah, I mean, well, from what I can tell, this specific thing's not going to have any bearing on the Marvels,
right?
I don't know. I'm still curious on how they're going to bring all these different concepts together of like the multiverses we saw from Doctor Strange, the timelines you see here. How are they going to make that all make sense within the greater Marvel universe? I'm very curious to see how they do that. But yeah, so that's pretty much the end of Loki himself. This is the last time we kind of really see anything substantial from Loki. We see a little bit of him at the very end, but this is the last time we really see anything substantial from Loki. He's now taking his place on the throne, and it just simply says, after he takes his place, we get a title card after.
I said, not even dot dot dot. You gave me a period.
Mm-hmm.
I was in literal shock.
We come back to the TVA. Everything is running normally. It's, you know, we don't know what happened. We have Miss Minutes back, but apparently she's been factory reset.
Allegedly, because Casey don't know.
Yeah, back to her normal setting. She's still a little buggy, but she's back. They're like, are we sure she's not going to kill us? And they're like, I don't know. Hopefully not. So B-15, who really got the short end of the stick here, I think, this season. So underwritten. It's annoying to me, really.
Yeah, B-15 and Renslayer, mm-hmm. I feel, yep, like just were like, you know, almost a fart in the wind, right? Like, it didn't make sense for us to have these powerful actors and characters and stories and for them to just be on vibes, like on the side. Yeah. I agree with you. I didn't enjoy that. Even though, again, we know that they, in the story, they have like their side characters, but somehow they're the biggest side characters, because now B-15 is TVA is run by B-15, I believe.
That's what it seems like, because it seems like she has a substantial role in what's happening. But from what I can tell, it doesn't seem like there's just one person in charge. It seems to be run by committee in a way. B-15 visits with Mobius. He tells her, listen, I've been getting reports on different He Remains variants, checking them out, making sure they don't find out about the TVA, making sure they don't understand what's happening here, that they cannot be in control of time again. We've taken time away from the He Remains variants, aka the Kang Grains. Interestingly enough, Kang never really gets name checked at all. Loki series.
So 1000%, but I feel like they're breadcrumbing us with Kang. Mm-hmm. So here's why. And this very, again, comes from New Rockstars. So when Mobius opens the file, it's pictures from Ant-Man.
Yeah, so he mentions, we had to take care of one in a 616 adjacent realm, mm-hmm. which you know, gives me Quantum Realm, and that 616 is that universe of the MCU. Exactly. Movie. So yeah, they're talking about the Kang from Quantumania there.
Yep.
I don't know what, you know, I guess they were keeping an eye on it, and then, you know, Kang got taken care of by Ant-Man. So like, okay,
but then that there's a mid-credit scene, sorry, right? Where a bunch of Kangs, because there was a bunch of writing in there that talked about many different Kangs, but it's not giving us like full-on explanation of what that means or what the TVA is doing, or like you said, like, did time get taken away from that? We don't know. But the point is, like, it seems like at least the TVA is aware of these people. And I think so Marvel,
they're keeping an eye on it.
Because Marvel is only keeping an eye on it.
Yeah, which makes you wonder if we would ever get like the TVA in any other property. I don't know if we would have a B-15 pop up, mm-hmm. or anything like that in a different Marvel project. Maybe in a Secret Wars or Kang Dynasty, where we have to check in with the TVA. That would be fun and interesting, but I don't think they want to. Not going to waste the time explaining who B-15 is, but maybe she'll just pop up and be like, hey, I'm B-15. I'm in charge of TVA. This is what we do, blah, 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 blah. Yep. But those that have seen Loki will know, oh my God, that's B-15.
Right.
Because, you know, shockingly, it's not going to be Mobius, because we find out later that right before the big meeting in the war room, B-15 and Mobius talk again. And Mobius tells her, listen, I'm going to leave. I'm going to quit. I really have to go out there and see what we've been protecting. Mm-hmm. B15 says, well, listen, if you ever want a seat in the war room, it's yours. Just ask. She asks, are you scared to go out there? He says, oh, yeah, most definitely. And then B15 enters the war room, and it's very busy in there. So a lot's going on. It looks like they're, you know, B15 is part of, I think that's, this is supposed to give us the indication that TVA is run by committee. It's not just one person running it. It's a big planning thing. It's a lot of people involved. We see the judge again, who we saw earlier, in the season.
The sleepy guy is back too.
The sleepy guy.
The one that was asleep the last time we saw the judges all together. Yeah. That guy, he's still there. Them. Yeah, I was like, what is he doing here? Also, we have new uniforms, like all white with the hat. So, again, don't know what that means, but I think it's just, and I don't think it matters. It's just, I think, for us to believe that TVA is changing.
Yeah, they don't really, which kind of bummed me out a little bit. They don't really give us a good indication on what the TVA does now and what their mission statement is. So I wish they had stopped down a little bit and given us a little more of a indication of what
we got. A poster. That's all we got. Where we, right, like, after Loki becomes a tree, it just says nurture the nature or something like that.
Yeah. So maybe they're you know, humanitarily, you know, keeping the timeline.
They're like the UN now.
Yeah, they're not going to prune anymore. Maybe they'll go and talk. You know, defund the TVA. They'll go and talk. They'll go, instead of sending out a pruner, they'll send out someone to go talk to these variants and be like, you know, maybe you should be doing this.
You're acting up. Get it together. Don't leave your branch.
Yeah, exactly. So we get more a little montage. You see OB now. He has a new set of TVA handbooks. It seems like maybe he's rewritten the handbook, and we're going to get a little more of that again. We see little Victor Timely again, but I think that what we're supposed to get from here is that they're not going to throw a guidebook in his window to make him deviate from his branch. He's going to be that little engineering kid. So who knows what Victor Timely will be without the guidance of the TVA guidebook. That's interesting. So the older Victor Timely is not going to be this guy that we saw. He's going to be probably a totally different person.
Yeah. 100%. And I don't know why I found that so powerful too, where he just looks back and he's like, okay, cool. Like, it's almost like somewhere, somehow it was supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. And right. Like, And we know why, but I'm just saying, according to just that timeline, it was like someone literally stepped in and said, no, we cool. We don't want more Timelys, or we don't want more Kangs or Remains.
It's almost like a feeling of like deja vu in reverse. Yes. Right? It's like, I feel like something was supposed to happen right then, but it didn't. Like, but okay, I guess I was going to my
canon event. What happened, right?
Yeah, exactly. So we finally check back in with Ravonna Renslayer.
Oh, Lord.
She's been missing for like an episode and a half. She wakes up. It seems like she's back at the end of time, but she turns to like her side and sees a pyramid. I'm like, okay, what's that all about?
Well, we've seen this before. This place. It's that. Yeah, it's the end of. It's a place at the end of time.
But did we see a pyramid then?
Yes, because I remember before people being like, I think that's Kang or Jonathan Majors, like whatever version of him. Like it seems like his nose.
Oh,
so I believe we've seen it before.
Okay. So Ravonna's there. She's like looking all around. She's like, she don't know where she's at. But interestingly enough, there's like a wind blows some grass off the floor, and it's always, what is it? Always in time or something like that. Mm. Time always. And so that I guess that's that site is where the TVA once stood at the end of time. But it's like, okay, interesting. And then all of a sudden we hear this kind of like growly kind of voice, and it's we didn't have the money in the budget to show, but it's probably Eliath again, right?
I feel like everyone is talking about it being Eliath.
Yeah, we don't got the budget to show the big destruction cloud, but it's Eliath, trust us. And and you know, she gives a look. And it looks like she's ready to face Eliath. And, you know, I guess I don't know what this means for her. I would assume she's going to maybe defeat Eliath. I don't know what that means. I doubt we'll ever see Ravonna Renslayer again. But I think we're supposed to be okay with the fact that she's going to hold her own. We know that she's going to be good here.
Yeah, I believe, and this is another theory I saw, but I believe that, like, she knows a lot. Like, the way she's looked at it, she's like, no, I've made you my bitch before. That felt like to me, right? She was just like, ah, we meet again. You know, like, sit, kneel, like, you're almost like a dog. That's what I feel like is going to happen.
Yeah, it feels like if we had a season three, we would go to the end of time and Ravonna would be running the end of time and using Eliath as her, like, as her pet, as her guard dog, as a whatever. She would run that place. So maybe that's the ending we're supposed to kind of imagine for Ravonna, because I don't think we're ever going to revisit this in any other property again, because they really, like B15, gave her shit all to do really this season. We had that awesome episode with her and Timely, but after that are just like blah. They kind of took her off the board and left her off the board. So that sucks. But that's where we leave Ravonna. So we come back to Mobius and we come back to Dawn, Mobius's original, you know, sacred timeline self, who Mobius is supposed to be. And Mobius is looking on as Dawn plays with his kids and has the life that, you know, Mobius wondered about. He wondered who he was. So now he's seeing who he was on a sacred timeline, looking on wistfully, right? And, you know, Sylvie comes up behind him, says, hey, what's up? Like, oh, man, it's weird Loki isn't here, right? He's like, yeah, it's so weird. She says, well, Sylvie tells him, I'll see you around. She says, where are you going? She just basically shrugs her shoulders. She says, eh. I don't know. I'll kick around a little bit. Maybe go work at Burger King. See if they're any different from McDonald's. I don't know. And she asks him what he's going to do. He's like, maybe I'll just stick around for a bit and let time pass, as he looks on at his life he should have been leading. So I think I wonder what Mobius's plan is. He's going to stalk Dawn and just see what his life is like. If I was Mobius, I would pop up like, hey, my name is Ron. I'm your long lost twin brother. You didn't know I existed.
Oh, imagine, because twins run in the family. That's why you have twins, and me too.
Yeah, I'm your secret brother. You didn't know you had him and I. You know, be part of your life so I can see how I would have lived.
Or and help raise, like, our kids together.
Yeah. Is he just going to, like, lurk from the shadows and see what his life would have been like?
I think he's very much going to pop in and out as necessary. We also got a fun Easter egg here where the file that Mobius gets says, like, M whatever bunch of numbers. Apparently, that is the comic that Mobius and Mobius was introduced in Fantastic Four. So again, it's like we're going back to our like roots. Again, roots, here we are. But I'm obsessed with these silly Easter eggs because they don't mean anything. But I think they give us podcasters or people that like spend a lot of time decoding the series, I think things to dig into to say, like, does that mean it's Mobius's rebirth, or is it that you're right? Does he become friends with Dawn? I see him very much as like, I go visit this point in time when I miss Loki and I need to know that, like, I'm doing this for good. Can I also say one more thing about Sylvie?
No, you may not.
Obviously. And I feel like this is very mean. So that's why. And I don't need anyone to like, well, actually me, because like, I get it. Okay, listeners, please. I'm just saying it as my like wish and theory. Since Sylvie is now on vibes only, right? She's like, I don't know what I'll do. I'll just be out here. Why couldn't Sylvie and Loki switch places? Because our Loki to be friends. He wanted to, you know, be with everyone. Sylvie did not.
And, you know, another criticism of the show I will levy is that we got no real closure for Sylvie and Loki.
No.
And what could have been with them? There was no even real hint at their connection, romance. It was just, it was a little let down for me. And to just have Sylvie be kind of a wandering nomad, I don't know if that's enough of a good closure for me. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think we'll ever see her again. Maybe some Marvel property will prove me wrong, but I wish we could have gotten a little more of a definitive, what is Sylvie going to be up to?
Yeah, agreed. And again, I don't know if this equals like a Loki versus Kang situation coming up for the Avengers. But I don't, doesn't feel like it. I feel like poor Loki is like one perpetual tear is going to be in his eye just hanging out alone with these damn timelines. What is he going to think about?
I mean, but I don't know. But we do get, we do kind of get a sense, because we kind of zoom out and we go back to Loki on his throne. We get a sense that Loki has witnessed this scene between Mobius and Sylvie. And he's, I don't know how to read the expression on his face. I think I would probably say he's at peace, maybe. He's happy that his friends are able to live their lives while he has to sit there and hold all the branches together and be there and everything. But yeah, and that's the last moment of the series, is Loki just kind of looking at peace in a way. I think it's a great way to end the series, to end the season, to have Loki fulfilling his glorious purpose, right? That's what he's talked about. But he didn't know what his purpose was. He didn't know how to get to his purpose. He just thought his purpose was to rule his subjects with an iron fist, but it was a very different purpose. And he had to carry the burden mm-hmm. of others mm-hmm. to fulfill that purpose. And we've really come full circle on the Loki character. And that's where we leave him. I mean, am I happy with the explanation of how he got these powers of his friendship? No, not really.
Yeah.
But I'm happy that we've rehabilitated the character, and mm-hmm. he's pivotal now to the universe. And that means we'll probably at some point in time get more Loki in a Marvel project. It won't be his own show, probably. I would assume it's going to be in Secret Wars or Kang Dynasty, that we will be getting more Loki. So I'm excited about that. But yeah, how is this all going to come together? How is Kang still going to be a threat if seemingly Kang is not in charge anymore?
I feel like Marvel loves to do this to us. Mm-hmm. Where they're just like, we gave you something, but we will never tell you how it all comes together, or wait on it, right? Like, that's all. Because I was reading another article where, or it might have been the same, y'all, I don't know. But anyway, another piece of conversation said, like, there's many, many more stories of Loki to be told. What the hell does that mean?
And interesting.
Where will they be? Give us crumbs.
I mean, listen, I wonder if they will just tell us, listen, multiverses aren't the same as timelines, right? They're two different concepts.
Right.
So there can still be many Kangs, but he won't be involved in timelines or time, but there will still be many Kangs. There will still be many Lokis that we can see, mm-hmm. not just this one Loki. This is one Loki, but remember, we still have a Loki that exists that, you know, went through Thor the Dark World, went through Thor Ragnarok, was killed by Thanos. That's mm-hmm. still a Loki. So there could be many other Lokis in many other different ways to see Lokis. And I want them to give us a unified theory about what are timelines, or the difference between multiverses, how do they all fit and come together. Now, those that have seen the Marvels may tell me, hey, dummy, it's in the Marvels.
At all of us. Yeah, saying that, because people are going crazy about a mid-credit scene. I don't know what it is. So, like, there really is nothing for me to spoil. But now I'm like, we're saying all this and watch it all be an answer that in a movie we just haven't seen yet.
So something major has happened in the Marvels that informs mm-hmm.
not Jonathan the MCU. Majors.
Not Jonathan Majors, maybe. Who knows? He could be in it. I don't know. But maybe, you know, that you know, and they've been telling us in the lead up to mm-hmm. the Marvels, this is the moment. Everything changes. Witness the future of the MCU. And apparently they fulfilled their promise. But like we said, we don't know what it is yet. Neither of us have seen the movie. We've mm-hmm. been too busy. I'm hoping to see it.
Oh, good for you. I don't know that that's happening for me. But I also will say, yeah, as a spoiler person, it would have been so hard for me to, like, not talk about the Marvel series. I'm grateful that I did not see it.
So, you know, the future of Marvel, who knows? We have no idea. I mm-hmm. hope, you know, I'm hoping in that they give us what I think what a lot of people want is another meeting between Thor and Loki, and another conversation between them to really kind of let Thor see that his ne'er-do-well brother is now a full-fledged hero that is helping humanity, that is holding everything together, and for him to be proud of his brother, and for his, you know, for Loki to see Thor again. I would love that. You know, if this was, I found it interesting that this finale really kind of only encompassed the show, and we couldn't get anything. Like, can you imagine a Chris Hemsworth cameo in this, in this thing? Like, he goes back in far enough into time where we see a conversation between Loki and Thor. I would have lost my friggin' mind. And
it's, if this the was way, like, the budget is set up.
Yeah, it's the budget. And if this was like an animated project or something, we probably could have gotten that. But since we do have to deal with the constraints of humanity, we can't just put a voice on it. We have to have the actual person. We didn't get that, but I'm waiting and wishing for that Thor Loki reunion, for that Thor Loki scene.
I think we've wanted that for like every one of our shows, right? Like, that, I feel like we've always called out one person that we wish we could come and have a whole conversation or have that moment for our character to truly like tie it up in a pretty little bow. But it's unfortunate that Disney just isn't, or Marvel, you know, I don't care, however the politics break down, aren't willing to like invest, you know, fully into the,
we're talking
shows.
To you, Secret Invasion.
Yes.
So many conversations needed. Conversations that had both characters in the show, but you never bothered getting them. Yeah. With Carol Danvers, beam down, please. Anyway, I don't want to end this by going on with Secret Invasion.
No, because I can't. We're not going to fight.
Listen, Loki, we have eulogized you. You did a great job. You have restored people's faith in the MCU again.
Yes.
I think it goes to prove that the MCU is not a monolith. It's not all good, not all bad. There will be varying degrees of good and bad.
Just like,
you just have to live with it. Yeah.
Yes, I love that. And I think it goes without saying, right? Like, Loki, obviously above Secret Invasion.
Yes.
And for me, above Ant-Man.
Yeah. 100%. 100%. I mean, in the hierarchy of the MCU TV projects, I know Ms. Marvel is tops for you.
Yeah.
Where would you put Loki in regards to Ms. Marvel?
Number two. Okay. Yeah, because again, Ms. Marvel is just personally great, but also I just think Moon Knight is pretty high for me compared to, I think, other people, just because I enjoyed it. But yeah, Loki's number two. What about you?
I think Loki might have to take my top spot. I think Ms. Marvel would take my second spot.
Yeah.
Moon Knight probably is at three for me because I loved a lot of parts of Moon Knight, but it felt like it didn't really know what it was talking about or doing at certain times. It got really sloppy. It got hard to understand, hard to figure out where we were going. And listen, we just watched Loki where it was hard to understand sometimes, but we loved it. But Moon Knight at times was hard to understand in a bad way, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And then we've got She-Hulk probably under that. And then, of course, in the dumps, Secret Invasion. Mm-hmm. What If is somewhere around there. I don't know where to put it. It's kind of a separate thing in my mind.
Exactly. I was like, no, we gotta let it be. No. I don't want to think about
probably
it.
Probably missing another. Oh, Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Ugh. Oh, my. I can't. The point is, I can't go back that far to like rank right everything now.
Yeah, I'm still missing a whole bunch. We got Hawkeye. We got other stuff. But we'll forget the ranking for right now.
Yeah, no, I think we'll try to do like, because Ms. Marvel is the only reason we talked about that one. It's in our top three or three to five. You know, top five is fine to talk about. Plus, I will say like Ms. Marvel is very relevant to the Marvels. So
true, for sure.
A resurgence, if you will.
Yeah. Sasha, is there anything else you want to get off your chest about Loki the series before we start winding this thing down?
No, I really think that it was beautiful. It felt different. And we obviously talked about the Thor Loki, and there are sure a few things that we wished could have come, but that's just us as fans. It's not necessarily like, oh, this killed the show or anything. Yeah, very much like, what an interesting way to go. And it wasn't bad, but how beautiful is the story and the writing and, you know, everyone that was involved, all the storytelling to say that like there are multiple branches for where this like really cool story can go. So I'm grateful for that. And just happy to be here and talking to you about it.
Well, can you tell everyone where they can find you, what other projects you're working on right now?
Yeah, things are winding down for me as well. So I'm only, not only, I'm just kidding, but I chat celebrity gossip, hot topics, you name it. I'm talking about it over on Mess Magnets with Kirsten McKennis. We will be talking Britney's book starting next week. So if you want to know more about her memoir, come check us out over on the Mess feed. And I'm talking Below Deck Med with Chappelle. We did come back. You know, we were mega late, but we did cover episodes 6 and 7 over on the Rob Has a Podcast YouTube channel. Or if you just want to listen to us, check out the Bravo TV Wrap Ups feed as well. And it doesn't matter, but I guess on Big Brother stuff, honestly, it's over. Let's leave it behind. And House of Villains. Oh my God. House of Villains coverage might be coming back. Let's see. So keep an eye out on my Twitter at funsize_04. Oh, and I was on Renap this week as well. Kirsten McKennis and I were on with Rob and Akiva just chatting drafts, like silly draft things. So it was really fun. I have probably the most cracked drafts. Are y'all surprised? So go check that out and vote for my draft to win. No, I'm just kidding. What about you, Jason?
The folks can find me on Twitter at JAYR1085. At the moment, if you want to hear me talking about some stuff, I'm easy to find. I got a bunch of stuff happening. I'm talking about the show Married at First Sight over on my podcast, A Perfect Match with Asia Welch. That season is on its third or fourth episode, and we're having a great time talking about it. So check us out over there on the Rob Has Podcast Wrap Ups Network. Also, recently on the Wrap Ups Network, I was talking 90 Day Fiancé with our guy Puya. Sasha and I are both frequent guests on that show. So if you want to hear us talk 90 Day with Puya, go over there. Here on Post Show Recaps, I got a few things happening. I've got Invincible with Gia Worthy. You know, multiverses are the thing nowadays. Invincible is tackling multiverses over there. Big Brother was doing multiverses this season. This is a multiverse concept in Loki. So multiverses are very popular. Also talking Gilded Age with Marissa Garza. Also talking Lawman Bass Reeves with Chappelle. That may only be a one and done, but we talked about the premiere over there. So go check us out there as well. That's it for me. This was a blast. Thank you so much, Sasha, for joining me. It's always fun talking with you about anything, really. But of course, this is our third MCU project, and I hope to do many more in the future.
Yeah.
Until then, we have realized...